So listen, right now what is consuming my life is marathons and marathons and marathons of television shows on Hulu Plus. I speak honestly from the heart. And you can go and try it out too if you go to HuluPlus.com/3ed. There's so many awesome shows on there and a couple movies as well. And you can add it to all kinds of devices, including your phones and iPads and tablets and PS3s and things like that. So go check it out. You're going to love it. And let's start our show. Oh, real quick shout out to Miss Naima Supreme. That was the intro. That was her song, Rock and Roll, produced by and featuring Timbaland.
Bitch. Ugh, can't deal. Love
Naima
her.
Naima's next, bitch.
She is.
So shout out to her. The video for Rock and Roll is going to premiere on MTV Gems and MTV.com next week, October 3rd, which is Scandal Day.
Big shit.
Right.
Congrats, Naima.
And her EP will be out then, too. So shout out to Naima.
All right, girl.
And all right, let's get into our pop culture stuff.
Let's do it.
Hello, everyone. I am Maleficent.
I'm Solange.
And this is The Read.
Love it.
Again.
Mm-hmm. Another week.
Doing things.
Can you believe we've been doing this show since like February?
Actually, I thought about that today.
That's crazy. Like, it's been like 8 months, really.
Like, every week, pretty much.
When do we go on vacation? Like, when do we... No? Okay.
So,
that's fine.
So, all right. We have like a lot of treats this episode.
We do. This is going to be a fun, fun show.
So yeah, let's just go ahead and start our pop culture shit.
Let's do that.
Immature is coming back.
You didn't tell me you was going to start with a joke.
So, the 90s R&B group consisting of Marcus Batman Houston. You remember when Marcus used to call himself Batman?
Yes, I do.
What the fuck? Where did that come from? Chris Stokes fucked it.
He really did.
All that shit was so weird and unnecessary, and how he made them all pretend like they were cousins and
I
shit.
I remember that bullshit.
That was so weird. Anyway, Marcus
they're not
Batman
really cousins?
Houston. Most of them are not.
Wow.
I think Chris Stokes and Raz B are actually related.
Oh, okay.
But he made it like, I think he said Marcus Houston and Omarion were like half brothers or some shit. And Janae Aiko was related to Lil Fizz. Like all these niggas were related, but they weren't.
Wow. Okay, Chris Stokes.
It was strange. Anyway, that group is coming back. They've got like some new photograph together and they look like, you know, you got served. And Romeo has a patch over his eye. Did he?
Girl, go home, Roger. This is dumb.
Because didn't he have a patch over his eye like when they first came out? He used to always wear one.
I don't even. What? It's fucking immature. Like, how is this even?
Because I remember House Party 3 with like when they were. Can you remember they were in House Party 3?
I barely remember House Party 3, but yes, I do remember.
What's with all those worms in your head, boy?
Oh,
I love that movie.
Obviously,
that shit was hilarious.
Able to quote it.
So yeah, they've got some shit going on. I guess they're supposed to be recording some new music, and they're going on tour with Drew Hill and Next as a part of the 90s Experience Tour or something.
Wow. I'm glad they named it appropriately. It wasn't like no delusions over here. It was like, hey, all you bitches born between like 78 and 89, want a piece of your childhood back?
Here you go.
Here we go.
Let's have at it. The opening act is going to be JS.
Girl, no, it's not. Are
Come
you serious?
Scoop of my ice cream, baby.
Shut up. They literally had one song, and it was that damn ice cream song.
And it was everything.
It was a little bit ho-ish.
Quietly, it was pretty much.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I'm from Miami, where so Trina raised me.
It was right. So, really, JS was like... kindergarten shit for y'all. Yeah.
Junior. So, you know, there you go with that. They're doing whatever.
Yeah, I mean, have fun, girl. Thanks. It's all good in the pursuit of a check.
I mean, why not?
Right.
Let's slide on over to Mitt Romney.
Do we have to?
And this situation.
God, so, are you kidding?
I think maybe like Friday?
I don't even remember. Someday.
Like 5 days ago, something like that. Mitt Romney tweeted our 22nd grandchild was officially. First of all, Mitt Romney is low key a nigga. Like he's the blackest white. This man has 22 grandbabies.
23 actually.
23 because the nigga got it.
He forgot, which is just like a black nigga.
Just like one.
Oh, Mitt Romney, don't, this is all jokes. You ain't no damn nigga. But anyway.
So, our 22nd grandchild was officially adopted today, he tweets. Kieran James Romney, Cece Ann Romney. And you have a picture of her here with this child who...
is adorable.
You have this picture here. Is this a dog next to them, too?
Oh, hell, I don't know.
Anyway, it's the family.
Why are you being an asshole?
It's the family together, and little Kieran is here in her lap, and he is the juiciest.
He is.
Like, he is so cute. This is the baby that James from Scandal wanted.
Yeah, it is.
A fat, adorable, sloppy
brown
baby.
Little baby. Just so precious.
So, much to a lot of people's surprise, Kieran is, you know, one of us.
Yeah.
He's, you know...
not one of them.
A milky chocolate... lovely little boy.
Brown little butterball, beautiful baby boy.
All I remember is I was having a really good day.
Oh, bitch.
And so, like, when I saw this, I was like, huh.
That's interesting.
And I just, like, the only thing that I could think to tweet as everything, you know, as, you know, Black Twitter was basically imploding.
Yeah. Black Twitter couldn't take it. I couldn't either.
And all I could think to say was, you know, Karen, you are juicy and adorable and your smile is amazing and good luck.
I just, yeah. I mean, that baby is adorable and it's very, very rich, bitch.
Very, very rich, bitch.
I am very rich. Anyway, however, the downside is that baby has to grow up a Romney or, you know, whatever last name it has.
He said Kieran James Romney.
Oh, it's Kieran Romney. Okay. Well, yeah, that moment when Kieran realizes he's not like the rest of the Romneys is really going to hurt a lot. So,
especially since his first name means little black one.
Since Kieran means dark or black, or it just depends on who you ask, but something along those lines.
When I saw the name, I was like, I've never heard of the name Kieran before. And I kind of like it. Like, I was just like...
I thought this sounds really white. And it turns out to be like Irish. So that's about as white as you can get.
And so I was just like...
It is. What?
And so I was just like, this is like an interest. Like, I've never seen this before, but I kind of like the name. And I think I was like, I might have been blogging. Or I don't know what I was doing, working on something. And I came back to Twitter maybe like 30 minutes later. And they were like, this nigga's name. And I was like, y'all are bullshitting. Like, this is so fucking stupid. And so I Googled it, and sure enough, whether it's Irish, Gaelic, Celtic,
I checked like six different baby name sites to make sure it wasn't just one person like pulling some kind of troll move. No.
It literally means small dark one, little dark one, dark skinned black,
dark or black, nigga. Something like that. No, it doesn't mean nigga. Like, it's just crazy that of all the names to give this baby, to give the baby
names
so
on purpose.
I don't. I think that they thought, oh, Kieran, that was our great great grandfather's name back in the Irish swashbuckling days or whatever the fuck I don't know. And so
washbuckling days,
bitch, are you mad? Would you like to Google it?
And so I think that they did do it on purpose.
I don't. That's terrible. Who would do that to a baby?
No, because you know that some white people who claim not to be racist, they do things and they don't realize how racist it is. I honestly feel like God told me.
Okay. This is where I check out.
Because no, I was really having a come to Jesus moment.
I don't know who
day.
You're talking to right now because I'm not listening anymore.
I was having a day where I was like, ask Kia. I listened to Lily McLeod sing Alabaster Box. And for some reason, I was just like, like so overcome by like the glory of the Lord. And like, I'm not joking. Like, I'm serious.
Yeah, no,
ask
you're serious.
Her, like, I was just having a really good day, and I just really felt blessed and just, like, amazed that this show was doing so well, and then I moved here, and, you know, like, I was just having a really good day.
Okay.
And so God spoke to me, and he said, you know, sometimes...
You just had to.
He said, you know, sometimes people don't know no better. Sometimes people don't know no better, and I honestly feel like they were like, he is our beautiful brown adorable, amazing baby, and yeah. we love him so much, and we're gonna give him a name that reflects that, and they didn't see how racist it is.
I really hope not.
That's my opinion.
Because if so, that lets me know that these people are not at all ready to raise a black child in America.
Look at all of the ignorant shit that they dragged in throughout this entire nation.
Right.
When he was running, you really didn't think, oh, well, let's just give this nigga a nigga name. Like, well, okay, no, let me, okay, that was harsh. Like,
like, why adopt a black baby?
No, I feel like they gave him a name because that's the way they look at him, as like this beautiful brown baby. And so they gave him a name and didn't see how ironic and like...
I mean, that's entirely possible. So I wouldn't put anything past the Romneys, but good luck hearing, because you are damn sure gonna need it.
But you are adorable. Like,
and
oh my gosh,
very,
wanna
very rich.
I want to squeeze.
No, that is the cutest baby. Are you shitting me? What?
Jeez, he's so
cute. I would babysit the fuck out of that baby.
And I hate kids.
Right, but he's so cute.
Like, I can't take it. All right, so Chris Brown, and I know, I get it. I know, I'm sorry, I understand, but this has to be said. Like, okay. I get it.
Go ahead and say it.
Chris Brown is on the cover of Jet looking like the Phantom Menace.
Oh, Chris Brown.
I think he just needs to stay shaved. I don't know if it's like the way his hair grows mixed with the fact that he looks like all the drugs that are in his system. I don't know what. He just looks like malnourished.
Well,
anyway,
somebody told me that he did an interview in Jet, and I was like, what? Apparently it was like halfway controversial.
Right. So, first of all, right here on the cover, it's in quote, it says, I identify with Trayvon 100%.
Okay.
And he has a hood on.
Of course he does, because why not?
Like, why wouldn't you?
Did Chris Brown make that decision, or did Jet make that decision? Because it seems, I don't really know.
I feel like I don't think that it was done intentionally.
Yeah. Okay. Well, here we go. The title is Moving Target, so.
Like, what?
Like, really?
Really? I'm not even going to get into the Trayvon thing because I don't want to upset myself. I'm going to instead talk about how he tried the fuck out of Blue Ivy's daddy.
Okay.
So this is the quote. It says, no disrespect because I'm a fan, but nobody brings up the fact that Jay-Z stabbed somebody and sold drugs. He gets a pass.
That's not true. Like, that's just patently untrue. Literally everybody brings up the fact that Jay-Z sold drugs. What?
Jay-Z brings up the fact that Jay-Z sold drugs.
Right. It's not... You see, the difference here, Chris, is that Jay-Z talks about what he did and accepts that he did something wrong and then moves past it and doesn't continue to fuck up. That's where you're fucking up.
When he references the times that he sold drugs now, it's usually like, this is the bullshit that I used to do and here I am now.
And now I'm very...
Very successful.
Yes, and I don't have to. So what? Right. But Chris, you seem to think that like...
And then he talked about when Jay-Z stabbed Un. And he did stab Un. That happened. And, you know, but no, like people still talk about that.
I don't care.
He never got a pass for any of the things that he did. What Jay-Z did was accept the mistakes that he made.
Right.
And continued his career as a businessman. He don't point fingers at nobody. He doesn't blame anybody. And that's exactly what the fuck Chris Brown is doing right now.
Right.
What the fuck does what Jay-Z did have to do with the fact that you beat the dog shit out of your girlfriend?
Why are you even bringing Jay-Z up?
What does that have to do with you? Like, I don't... What? What?
Like, no, but really, nigga, what?
Where did you get that from? It's just like, and it's just like the typical nigga move to like, when people are pissed off at you or you feel like you're being attacked, to like point the finger at somebody else like, well, he did this.
Right. Like, and so second grade of you, like,
go get him. Like, what?
But Dustin ate the paint too. Like, nigga, shut up. Ain't nobody talking about Dustin right now. We talking about you and what the fuck you did. You need to take responsibility for what you did. And to Chris's credit, I will say that he acknowledges that incident probably more than I would. But Chris, I've said this for, it feels like years now. What you have to do is, first of all, do not continue to fuck up You have a real problem with that.
Thank you. Hold on. Pause. Thank you. Because that's exactly what the fuck I said. Nigga, it's not like you beat the dust off Rihanna's ass and then you just walked this crystal clear, clean and line ever since then. And you have just
been nothing but an angel.
It has been consistent for you. Through chairs out of windows. You sang at a boxing match like the following year.
Right.
You went jet skiing right after you whooped her ass. Like,
you got a tattoo of a beat up face on your shoulder or whatever.
That was supposed to be like
throwing bottles at Drake in the damn club. You constantly arguing with somebody. Like, nigga, come on. Like, give people a reason to stop talking about the bad shit that you did. Do something good and do it consistently.
And at the very least, if you aren't going to do that, leave everybody the fuck else alone. Because Jay-Z ain't got shit to do with you or people being angry with you or people talking bad about you. They talk bad about Jay-Z today when he ain't doing shit.
Right.
You give niggas reason. And I will admit, and I've said this before, I feel like a lot of people intentionally try to antagonize
him
to get him to act a fucking
ass.
But he continuously takes the bait.
He does.
He does it all the time.
And baiting aside, Chris Brown makes lots of public bad decisions.
Just without the help
Anybody. You just make it way too easy for the people who aren't rooting for you, Chris. You make it too easy.
You need to get on some Eat, Pray, Love shit. Take your ass to fucking Senegal. I don't know. Go somewhere far
just
the fuck
meditate.
Away. Leave your fucking iPhone here. Don't talk to nobody but your mama. Don't even talk to you. Talk to Jesus.
Yeah.
Don't talk to anybody but God and eat some great food and like do the Russell Simmons yoga pose with your
don't
feet
take
up.
Your phone. Nothing.
Don't take your phone. Stay off of social media.
You need like a year.
You need to just go
traveling the world and learning about yourself.
Like Martin did on the very beginning of season 2 where they had to go and break him out of that cult. But he didn't know it was a cult.
I remember that. Oh my God.
And Chris Brown's going to come back to America with half his head cornrows and the other half is going to be like a big nappy fro.
Yeah.
And that is when we'll know that he is at peace and he's free.
Listen to me, Chris Brown. If they talk about Blue Ivy, they'll talk about you. So get it out your head that people are not going to talk about you. It doesn't matter if you beat Rihanna's ass yesterday, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. People are always going to
bring that up. I said
that
after it happened. I said, you are forever going to be known as the nigga who whooped Rihanna's ass. Like, even if the whole entire world forgave him, that's going to be right there smack dab. It's going to
always. It's going to be in your obituary. You are never going to get away from it. Listen to me. Joe Paterno, who I know you don't know who this is, but he's a legendary. Okay, so who is he?
He's a legend.
A legend in what?
Sports.
What? Which sport?
In the sport of athletes.
Okay. So Joe Paterno, who is a legendary
football
college football coach at which university?
Penn.
Penn what?
State.
Penn State what?
University.
Anyway, can I get through this?
I knew, which is the point.
Bitch, Joe Paterno lived 85 years and had one of the most amazing records and was so highly respected and was basically like the king of Pennsylvania. And then like 4 months before he died, that whole child molestation, Penn State cover-up scandal broke loose.
And 500 years from now, if someone brings Joe Paterno up, they're going to talk about
Joe Paterno's entire legacy, which is way bigger than yours, Chris. His entire fucking legacy was ruined, like, literally weeks before he died. And that, people are always going to bring that up. All the great things Joe Paterno did, people are going to talk about those too, but they are always going to bring up this bullshit that happened at Penn State. There's no getting around it. It's part of your history. You have to accept it and move the fuck on. Stop fucking up.
He's just at war with himself. He'll figure it out.
Okay, well, all right.
So, almost kind of sort of in the same realm of this situation.
Okay, well, almost doesn't count.
Tiana Taylor and Rihanna. So
yeah,
girl. So Rihanna. Okay, so Tiana.
Where
do you even begin?
With these
Tiana
hosts.
Taylor posted a video on her Instagram, and it was her singing Rapture, which she keeps calling Caught Up in the Rapture of Love.
But, you know, young people.
Right.
They don't.
She was singing Rapture by Anita Baker, and you know, it was like a cute little thing. You know, she has a nice voice.
It was. It wasn't shitting. It wasn't even touching Anita Baker, but
let's
not get crazy.
Let's calm down.
But it was cute.
I mean, for what she can do.
It was better than what Rihanna could do.
Let's get there in a sec.
Okay.
So Teyana Taylor was singing, you know, a little bit of that song just randomly. And then a week later, Rihanna posts on her Instagram video, a video of her hairstylist or whatever, some guy named Yusuf, in this long wig similar to Tiana's hair, with a snapback on, because you know that Tiana has her butch moment.
Yes.
And he was singing the song. And so she caught wind of it a few hours later, Tiana, and she got on Instagram and was like, look, bitch. I don't know who the fuck you think you're talking to. But she said, don't play with me. You and I know each other very well. Why are you throwing sub tweets and sub whatever? You have my number, all this other stuff. And
please continue. Just continue.
Right. She basically accused Rihanna and the Rihanna Navy of bullying everyone and always getting away with it and being petty. And like a few hours later or something, Rihanna got on Twitter and said, screaming in an empty room, don't feed the animals, I hate broke bitches. And then changed her Twitter background, whatever you call that, header. Banner shit, to a side-by-side photo, one of Teyana Taylor's alleged net worth, which was $500,000, and then one of hers, which is $90
million. Right.
And then from there, it was like Melissa jumped in and was like, bitch, who was even talking to you?
Who and asked you?
Right. Like, where the fuck
I mean, I get it because that's
from?
Your best friend and you rock your best friend. But like, but just know.
Right. And so then it became this whole back and forth. And then Tiana put up a banner of, like a photoshopped banner of her head on a boxer punching another boxer. And on the other boxer's head was Rihanna's photo after Chris beat her ass.
Yeah.
And so from there, she has a petition out now for Adidas to like drop her. Cause you know, she has like a deal with Adidas. And it just became this whole mess of, you know,
girl,
when I see
whatever.
You, we gonna fight you. And just like really basic Dade County bird Chinese slipper ass drama. Like, what the fuck are y'all even doing?
Both of you hoes have too much money for this shit, especially you, Rihanna.
Right. Like, that was my thing. First of all, and I'm sorry, like, I love Rihanna, but I have to give it to her on this one. Because honestly, I'm not going to say that I feel like she was a bully, like Tiana said. Because, first of all, I believe a bully is someone who attacks someone who can't defend themselves.
Right.
But on top of that, these bitches actually do know one another. And I remember after, like, when Chris and Rihanna were first dating, Tiana, who was friends, she's, like, good friends with Chris, you know, used to be in pictures and hanging out or whatever with Rihanna. But after they broke up, I mean, after he whooped her ass.
Right.
I remember her saying something to the effect of, like, y'all don't know the whole story or something like
that. I remember that, too.
And it was just kind of like, well,
we were
girl,
like, okay, well, I mean,
say?
Now ain't the time, so.
Right. Yeah. Like, be quiet. And then now she's like real good friends with Carucci and whatever. So I can understand.
Oh, God.
I can understand if Rihanna may not necessarily like Tiana, because I don't know what has gone down between them or whatever. And that's none of my goddamn business. I do think it may not be bullying, but it was petty as fuck.
It was.
And
and Tiana had a really good point. Rihanna does this all the time.
She does do it a lot.
And people do let her slide.
And
that's true.
And people do let her slide.
I have let her slide. I mean, excuse me. Just in general, people let Rihanna get away with it because, I mean, it's Rihanna. Like, that's just kind of always been the excuse.
The reason that I've usually let a lot of it pass is because most of it is funny. Like, even the video, like, I like Teyana Taylor too, but I thought that video was funny, but I just thought that it was petty as fuck and unnecessary.
It just seems like, why would you do that?
Yeah, like, for what? What's the point?
Like, no, but really. Just look at the situation. Why would you, Rihanna, tall, gorgeous, slim, rich as every fuck, got all the weed in the world, access to any dick you want, can jet set across the globe at your whim? Why would you even watch
saying.
A video on Teyana Taylor's Instagram? Like, why?
That's what I'm saying. They know one another. So if you don't like that bitch and you decide that you're going to do something shady, it is what it is. But I feel like it shouldn't have been like all of this is stupid. Were you putting up your net worth next? First of all, Rihanna needs to stop shading bitches who are singing a cappella songs. Because, honey, until you put a song up of you singing anything
ever.
Motherfucking one of your goddamn songs, you could sing the motherfucking the national anthem. You could fucking sing the SpongeBob SquarePants theme, bitch, until you get on Instagram and are singing something in an acapella. You need not shade anybody else, honey, because the fact of the matter is, as many hits as your ass has, as cunt as you are, and as much as I love you down, bitch, you ain't singing nothing acapella, honey.
Nothing.
Because you ain't got the voice for it.
At
and
all.
That's the goddamn truth.
Period. You're a studio artist. That's
you are a studio artist.
That's place. And you have gotten better and you still fucking suck. Like, you cannot sing and you have gotten a lot better. Because let's not bring up that hero clip from like her high school.
I mean, we need not, because they bring it up every single day.
Woo, my God.
But what I'm saying is, like, I think I was watching something the other day and they were playing California King Bed in the background. And I was like, we're not actually saying this. So, like, for me to have to, like, to acknowledge, like, oh, wait, you actually had a song where you did sound like you could sing. It's like, bitch, like, okay, if you gonna shade a bitch because you don't like a bitch, then I understand that. That's fine. But figure out the way that you gonna do it. Because that, shading people for singing is just not, it doesn't make any sense. And then what annoys me the most about it is, these bitches constantly let her get away with that. How many times do I have to tell you all to fight shade with shade?
Yeah.
Like, she's giving you a golden opportunity to slam her because she's talking about your vocals.
Yeah.
Why would you not use the opportunity?
You should have said, bitch, you put the wig on and let's hear you sing it.
Right. Why didn't you put on the goddamn wig and sing it? That's
we,
why.
We all know why. Because then it would have been even fucking funnier.
How do they keep letting that shit pass?
I don't know.
And furthermore, Rihanna talking about, oh, putting up pictures talking about, I'm gonna, like, Tiana is worth $500 million and I'm worth $90 million. It's like, okay, first of all, I'll tell you one goddamn thing about me. She's worth $500,000 and Rihanna's worth $90 million. I say, bitch, give me the $500,000.
Give me that.
And you would literally have to come, you would have to make an appointment to hold my nuts before I respond to any one of you. You could give me Carucci's allowance. You could give me Melissa's allowance. And I'm not responding to Nan, one of you
not
fuck niggas.
Not a single damn thing.
There is going to be so much Popeyes to purchase. There's going to be so much Bluebell to purchase. I'm going to be out here with the finest of the weed. And I'm going to do nothing but sit in my ass and order DVDs on Amazon Prime, bitch. And there's going to be nothing. I would go, like, you would have to literally take a number. It's like, schedule a date for me to give a fuck if I had $500,000.
Right.
$90 million? Bitch, Rihanna, ho, you was just on Instagram on a boat in Thailand looking sickening and rich and wealthy as all the fucks. When did you find time to give a fuck about what Tiana Taylor is doing?
Hey, none of y'all have Blue Ivy money.
And Tiana Taylor, girl, like, I was rooting for you, but then using the photograph of her, of Rihanna's beat up face for, like, girl, grow up.
That,
like,
was
that
so
was
stank.
So, like, that was basic and it was low. Like, I understand a bitch hurt your feelings or she got under your skin or whatever the fuck it is, but come on. Like, that
I
was
I know she pissed you off, but there are some lines you don't cross.
Like, right. And my opinion was, Tiana should have just, like, even if she put up that first tweet about, you and I know each other very well, you have my number, she should have left it at that. The bitch you, because I honestly feel like Tiana Taylor will show up at a fight with a Bane mask on.
Oh, I don't think there's any question about Tiana Taylor's ability to whoop the dog shit out of Rihanna. I don't think there's any
doubt. I don't think anyone
doubt.
Is questioning that.
Like, no.
I think that she should have just left it alone, because I know they run in the same circles. They know all the same goddamn people and all, like, they all have the same friends and all that shit. Eventually, you gonna be in the same vicinity as this girl and you just go and speak to her and be like, so, bitch, what, you know, what's the problem?
So, what's up, Rihanna?
And go slap her ass. Yeah. Like, if that's what you like. And as much as I love Rihanna, if she would have got slapped in the mouth over that, well, that's, you know.
I mean, you absolutely deserve that, so.
I think this whole, I don't know how deep this motherfucking rabbit hole goes, but y'all need to just leave each other the fuck alone. This entire thing is late.
Yeah.
It is basic, and both of you hoes are too rich for it. Too rich for it. That's why Oprah said, none of these niggas will call me a nigga to my face.
Show the fuck won't.
Because you know what? Look at all of the things.
Oprah could pay to have you exterminated before you get done talking. What?
It is a hair flip.
Nigga, what?
And she's gonna flip your hair first.
Oprah's dog's shit is worth more than your whole life and your mama's life too. How do you feel about that?
Like, look at all the bitches who have something slick to say about Beyonce. And you know what Beyonce does to get under their skin? You
post
know what
her Beyonce's toe on Instagram.
Do you know what Beyonce's shade is? Winning.
Here's my yacht. Do you see my perfect baby on the yacht in the middle of fucking Italy or whatever? Like,
my life and my work are both reads, because whether she's showing you photos of her life, it shits on yours, and the stages that she's on my work, it shits on yours.
You'll never.
Beyonce's shades, her read is just living life. Her read is getting up out of bed in the morning.
Beyonce's backup dancers are more talented than 85% of recording artists in the industry. Ashley alone shits on all y'all. So now what? Now what? Ty is the greatest of all time. None of you can book him. What, like, girl. Like, no, what? Like, it's sad.
You're never going to be in the same room.
So Beyonce wins by winning. She doesn't have to get on Twitter and fight with you basic ass hoes.
Rihanna is so gorgeous.
So fucking pretty.
So, like, successful. The bitch put, like, a slew of all of her MAC cosmetics, like the new line, which looks amazing. Like, you're just so successful and cut and beautiful and have all these hits. Like, Taylor, people are still trying to figure out what she does for a living.
People don't even really know who. And I like Tiana. I
do. I like her too.
Met her briefly last year, and she was very sweet. And I think she's like a really pretty girl, and that all that is great. But I mean, you know, facts is facts. Everybody knows. You know, Rihanna is far more successful, has a lot more money. So why Rihanna as the moon? Would you not even, like, not even did you bark back at the dog? You went and found the dog and, like, kicked it in the ass first. Like, why, girl? Why even step down from where you are to fuck with somebody else? You have too much money for that. You really do.
I think that she's just, like, enamored with shade.
You are always because smoking always, weed. You are too high for this.
If I had $90 million and the weed that Rihanna smokes.
Okay.
You would have to, like, I wouldn't know that you said something slick to me until, like, 2 weeks later.
I was thinking, like, a year. What?
Somebody would have
to. If I had Rihanna's money, I would be standing on the sun at all times. At all times, nigga. Just gazing into heaven.
Every waking moment.
And I don't even really believe in drugs like that. But if I had Rihanna's money, I would be high 24/7. Like, what is even your damn problem? Girl.
I guess it's beef.
And big beef on you hoes.
Is when a
both
bitch
y'all.
Titties looking like they sleep.
Okay.
And then Karrueche decides she want to get
Karrueche
and jump
now
in.
Now you sit down.
Talk about uh-oh. And I was like, listen, somebody needs to text Chris and tell him change the Wi-Fi
fault.
Password. Because this is like, why would you even allow, why put, to get them to put that target on your, like, no.
Karrueche,
sit over here and
you
eat
just,
your sandwiches.
And you just cute, stay kept.
And you just stay over there and yeah. You just be quiet, girl. Like, it's
I don't even happen. Understand the desire to speak out as a celebrity, because I feel like when you have crossed a certain financial threshold, fuck the little people. Like, who even gives a fuck about y'all's opinions anymore? Like, I have so much money that you tweeting a bunch of bullshit to me every day means less than nothing to me. Like, just go right ahead.
I hardly give a fuck about it now.
Right. Now. And I have nothing. So,
like, give me $500,000.
Oh,
Because I'm talking about the minimum.
Right. This is the minimum. This is, you know, $500,000 fucking dollars. Okay.
You'd have to start a Kickstarter to get me to give a fuck.
Hmm.
Well, I think all you hoes should leave each other the fuck alone.
Box it up and ship it home. This is sad. Don't do this no more.
All right. Let's move forward.
Okay.
So, people, don't forget about our sponsors, Hulu Plus. And I, Kid Fury, am quietly obsessed with it. And I've been watching nothing but Community because the show is...
Oh, yeah, you got me into that.
So, did you like it?
I did.
It's so funny.
It's random, but it's good.
And also right now they've got tons of new shows. You know, fall premiere is going crazy. I just watched Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which I liked a lot. And they've got New Girl up there, Mindy Project, X Factor, lots of really cool shows. So go and try it out, girl. You're going to love it.
Hulu Plus is normally $7.99 a month, but we are giving you guys a free 2-week trial at HuluPlus.com/TheRead. You can watch on all kinds of different devices, like the Xbox 360. You can use your Roku to stream through your TV. You can watch on the Wii, your iPhone, your computer, girl, all kinds of stuff. And there are thousands of shows and movies. So head on over to HuluPlus.com/TheRead to sign up now. You are not going to regret it.
It's HuluPlus.com/TheRead. Go get your life and let's continue.
Okay.
And now, We do a listener letter.
Yes, we do.
I tried to make it cute and it
listener
didn't.
Oh my God, I didn't do my Rihanna accent.
Yes.
No, I meant. Oh, I'm sneaking it in before the show is over.
Oh, you piss off.
Man, no. I'm just warming up. That wasn't
This is
it.
Offensive. If Asante can't do Coco
How
Dinash,
is it offensive?
If Asante can't do Coco Dinash, bitch, you can't do an island accent.
That's not true.
I'm offended.
How? No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
No, you're not.
Yeah.
Okay.
So whatever. It's banned.
Anyway, ho.
All right. As always, asktheread@gmail.com.
Oh, now you know my lines? Okay, great.
I was just trying to help.
No, I don't need your help.
Okay.
Here we go. First question. Want to hear it?
Yes.
Here we go. All right. This is from Max. And it says, my name is Max and I'm a 19-year-old lesbian college student. I've been having a thing with a straight girl for about 4 years now where we play around. And those 4 years have been an irritating roller coaster ride.
Not bad.
Okay. As time went on, I started to fall deeper and deeper. Something in my heart told me she wasn't feeling it like I felt it. But my black ass decided to stick around anyway. She would play games and call me her babe one day, but then not write me for days or call me fake the next. After months of thinking about it and my friends getting tired of giving me advice, I decided to write a letter to the girl to tell her that I love her and everything that I was feeling. When she read it, all she said was, "Aw, that was cute. You're going to make me shed a tear. I really appreciate it." I'm not sure why, but I was crushed because that one response told me everything I wanted to know. It was nice that she appreciated it, and I understand that if you don't love someone, then you shouldn't say it. But at this point, I'm not sure if I should move on or stay. My friends are telling me to move on and that I'll find someone in college, but I don't feel like that I would find someone like her or anyone at all. I feel like my dignity, my emotions, and my heart are gone, and now I walk around looking like a miserable fuckbag. Please, I'm really stuck. I need some advice on what to do.
Bye, nothing was the same.
God damn it. And she's so light skinned first... too. She attached a picture. So for you to be like, your people, I recommend light skin therapy in the form of Drake.
That's it.
Studio albums.
No, seriously. Your first clue or the first red flag that should be evidence you need to move on is the word straight.
Yeah. I know you're young, but girl. You have just learned the very first rule of lesbianism, which is no straight girls ever. Like
the problem with lesbians, I feel like that you don't really have with men is because girls be playing fake straight. I mean, fake gay.
They do.
Like guys it's fun don't to do them. That.
No, they like, don't.
Not no. With a gay person.
No, right.
So for whatever reason, like straight girls that have lesbian friends like to like mess around and play and be flirty and cute with them and stuff like that. And like, they think that it's cute and fun. It's like, no girl. Like if this girl actually likes you, like why fuck with her head?
Yeah, because like you're kind of like sending trendy. Mixed signals here.
I hate that shit.
But these are teenagers. So,
and while we're on the subject, I hate all of you fake lesbian girls. Are you girls who be, lesbians. You fake bisexual girls be out here playing like you like pussy for a nigga. Gross. And you deserve the first fuck boy that you get. I hate girls that do that. Because you're going to get a fuck boy, and that's going to be your own damn problem. Anyway, back to you, sweetie.
So, yeah, Max, listen, straight girl, what? You won't ever do that again.
Yeah, don't ever do that again. Leave that shit alone and just...
Even if she flirts with you, if she identifies as straight, then no.
Even if she's lying to herself.
If she's like, oh, I'm a little curious or I'm bi or whatever, then okay, you have some wiggle room. But if she says, I'm straight, leave it alone.
Yes.
It's not worth it. I swear to you.
Just, and she could be lying.
Yeah.
But it's,
it doesn't even matter.
It doesn't matter either
way. It will bite you in the ass.
Leave it the fuck alone.
I feel for you. I know you feel like you're never going to find anybody again, but this time next year, you'll probably be moved on to somebody new and you'll forget that you ever felt this way. So I just want you to
see her picture.
Well, okay. I just want you to remember that trouble don't last always. And because sometimes when you're going through stuff, Kid Fury's looking at me so crazy. But when you're going through stuff, like you're going,
no,
you have
I just
your
like the
feelings.
Way that you said that. It just sounded so country.
Oh, well, I know in the middle of your bullshit, it seems like you'll never get out of bullshit. But just hold on.
I'm sorry. I had to smash something. I just felt
did you
it.
Feel a way about
yeah.
that?
That one is, listen, where you, bitch, come on. So, yes.
It just gets hard to see the light at the end of the tunnel, but I promise you it's there. And you're going to feel better one day. It's not... It's just... It sucks.
You don't want anybody who's going to be playing around with your fucking emotions. Fuck that. I wouldn't even talk to her no more.
Right. No. In fact, you shouldn't. I don't think it's easy to get over people when you still speak to them.
Yeah. That... Yes.
Every day. And in fact, I tell...
Oh, she's cute.
Right. She's adorable. Oh, look at you. So, right.
Her fucking locks.
Are you kidding? Listen to me. I'm looking at your picture and I'm telling you right now, you go on campus. It looks like maybe you're wearing a button up and like a cardigan. Girl, you keep dressing like that, like a little kind of like an Instagram male model. Girl, you gonna pull all the hoes. Do not worry about this one
like
straight girl.
Guy.
It's plenty of bisexual and gay girls just waiting on you. So.
Okay.
Let's move on. Okay, this one's from Aaron. And Aaron, who describes himself as probably our whitest listener,
okay,
says this. I am a 42-year-old suburban father of two also white kids.
How old?
He's 42.
Okay, hey girl.
And he lives in the suburbs.
Alrighty.
Who teaches at a very white school, and I love the read. Love it. One day before class, I overheard a student talking to some other kids about blacks. He was saying the usual racist bullshit. They're lazy, they're dishonest, and they don't know how to behave in polite society. Ordinarily, I would call a student out on this and confront them. But here's the issue. By all appearances, he is black. When I started to say this, the student said, no, I'm not black. My father is African and my mother is Haitian and I wasn't born here, so I'm not one of them.
Oh, girl.
To make things more complicated, he is openly gay, which probably makes him feel ostracized by our generally homophobic culture. For a minute, I was going to try to straighten him out, but who am I, Whitey McWhiterson, to tell somebody to be black? I shut up about it and still feel very uneasy about the fact that I didn't confront him further. What should I have done or said?
Hold on, because you're going to have to repeat that last part for me again.
Okay.
But before you do, because I got lost when he said the homophobia in what, our culture? What does he mean, in America?
Yeah.
He said his father is African, his mom is Haitian.
That's a good point.
What's it like over there, girl?
So listen, Aaron, there's a whole bunch of different teachable moments here, and we're going to help you out. If you happen to have this conversation, the opportunity to have this conversation with this student again, we want you to address the following. Number one, there's a difference between being African American and being black. You can be black and be from any fucking country in the world. Yes, still black. African American is usually a term that we use to describe black people born right here in America. So... point out to him that when he's talking about blacks do this and blacks do that and blacks are this and that away, he's talking about his own damn self, regardless of whether he identifies as black. It doesn't even really matter. He's black as fuck. He may not be African American, but he's still black. I mean, obviously, you don't say it like this. You say it in your teacherly suburban white man way, but point out to him the difference between ethnicity and race, nationality and race.
We have to have a conference about the difference between ethnicity and race. Like, seriously.
We need, like, a national conversation, not one hosted by Soledad O'Brien on CNN either. Like, a real one.
First of all, what grade does he teach? What does he teach?
He just has a very white school. And since this is, I would guess no younger than eighth grade.
Okay, so first of all, he needs to shut the hell up.
We're talking to the student?
Yes, the student needs to shut the hell up.
Well, I mean, but this teacher is very, very white. So he feels a way because he's like, you know, who am I as a white man to tell this student, this black student,
you're
what
a teacher.
To say? That's it. I was hoping you would get there. You're still a teacher, Aaron. Like, yeah, you're white and there's nothing you can do about that. But you're in a position of authority over
to
these kids.
Teach.
So if a white child would have said the exact same thing, then it was your responsibility as a teacher to pull that student aside and be like, I don't know what the fuck is wrong with you, but here's all the ways that you're wrong. And I don't want to hear this bullshit again or whatever your disciplinary process may be. Like, girl, period. Aaron, what?
First of all, I'm so annoyed by people because growing up, you know, and having an island family, like My parents would reference Black Americans all the time. They never said blacks, but they would say Black Americans. Mm-hmm. They didn't say African Americans for several reasons.
Well, yeah. I mean, Black American is fine.
Right. But they would say Black Americans when they would talk about people. They wouldn't say, like, Black people, because we're Black.
Right.
But there are a lot of people, maybe in, you know, parts of Africa and other areas too, but there are a lot of people in the Caribbean who feel that way and act that way. And they come over here and they just act very, like, elitist and superior over, like,
I never knew that. I mean, but yeah, growing up in Oklahoma, you wouldn't, because we don't.
Maybe, but like growing up around a lot of other Jamaicans and, you know, like Dominicans, who, yeah, a lot of them don't know they're Black.
They don't know they're Black either.
And, you know, like people from the Bahamas, like Haiti, like a lot of people, they act a way about like regular old Black American people.
Like, why though?
And I'm like, I mean, I understand, like, it's very different. Like, the culture, like, the island culture and the Black American culture is very different.
Okay.
And, you know, but it's just that already
different enough for you to perpetrate racist stereotypes against
not your- that damn different. No, that's what I'm trying to say. And so that alone is reason for him to shut the hell up. And then you can most definitely pull him to the side or say however you need to that these are all the reasons that you were incorrect.
Yeah.
These are all the reasons why you sound ignorant as hell. And let's talk about it, because I'm your teacher and my job is for you, you know, to push you, yeah, in the direction where you can go out in the world and have some goddamn sense.
Right. And Aaron, if this is still like really, really bothering you, it's okay to pull him aside the next time you see him and be like, listen, I know this was like 3 weeks ago, but I really have to tell you that what happened and the words you said, like that was really fucked up.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And in fact, you probably should.
And I mean, when I was in like ninth grade, my teacher used to kick me out of the class all the time just because he ain't like me. So,
I went to a very racist middle school, and so I had a lot of moments. My daddy physically came up to my middle school and told my social studies teacher that he was going to put his foot up his ass, okay, if he continued to fuck with me. Like, I really went through some shit growing up in Oklahoma. But Aaron, As a teacher, you have a responsibility to point out when students are saying something that is harmful and disrespectful and just flat out fucking wrong. So don't feel like because you're white, you can't say it. Like, yeah, there's some shit you don't get, but this is just, come on.
Right.
All right. And our last question comes from Evan, who says, which celebrity do you guys think has the most annoying stands? Personally, I think Gaga's Little Monsters take the cake for me, and I say this as someone who likes her music, but Gaga could record a vine of her burping and all the monsters would be on Twitter and Facebook talking about how that 6-second clip has changed the face of music forever, and if you call them out on it, you might as well change your name and
that's
move to another continent.
All stands do.
Yes, that's true. But who do you guys think has the worst stands?
I think Beyonce has.
I was going to say, I think the Smilers have been pretty bad here lately. I don't know if you
know
about
what that is.
The Miley Cyrus stance.
Oh, well, fuck
them. I think they're called Smilers.
I don't care.
Well, ever since the VMAs, them hoes have been out with a vengeance. And they are rude as fuck. When Lorde,
they don't fuck with me no more. Oh, when she got the number one
when
spot.
When Lorde got the number one spot on iTunes, they are still in Lorde's mentions, calling her ugly. And she said something nice about Miley Cyrus. She was like, oh, great interview.
And
Miley
said something nice back.
And the stans don't care. Like, they're evil. So I think
that is because they are all stupid. And a lot of them are between the ages of like 10 and 14.
Yeah. So I think recently the Miley Cyrus stans have been the worst, but overall I would say Beyonce stans are pretty damn
and
bad.
And I only say that because Beyonce stans will kill you. Like Beyonce stans will go to prison.
Remember when that man shot another man because he,
yes,
didn't know that Jay-Z was married to Beyonce?
About. Absolutely. They will kill
people
you.
People will shoot you.
They will take every, like, Carrie Hilson was moved to tears. Did you ever see that clip where she was like performing at like Six Flags or some random shit?
No.
And they were talking about like the stans being in her mansion and then she got like choked up.
Oh no.
You can look at it. And that was, I talked about that in a video, I think. I said that was the day that I was like, I'm gonna make an effort to leave her the fuck alone.
Yeah.
Because it has been years. And to this day, like every time she tweeted something, a stan would, like, not even a stan, but literally thousands of stands would show up in her mansion. This is the thing about Beyonce stands.
They're diligent and they are really about that life.
They are,
and that life is
dedicated.
Ruining yours. They
and
don't give a fuck.
And it's not just words. They will see you on the streets and the tweets.
And they are very proud of this right now, but they should not be.
Because Beyonce has had to say
the Beyonce stands are listening to this going, yeah!
Like, for real. I know they are. Beyonce has had to say several times, calm it down.
Calm down, everybody.
Tone it down.
I try to keep my standing to Beyonce appropriate events, like
right.
concerts or album
live
release, new movie
videos,
or whatever.
Right.
I mean, and then in general, if somebody says something crazy about it, I'd be like, bitch, your mama can't or whatever.
Right.
I'll be stank like that. But as far as like the terrorizing Carrie Hilson, I'll freely admit that I used to be one of those people.
Me
and
too.
I just don't anymore, girl. I think it's old and tired, but I've grown up since then. So the whole...
I still think that Beyonce stans are the reason that Keisha Cole has been gotten that fight at the Essence Music Festival.
Yeah.
And now while their marriage is on the rocks.
And when the Beyonce stans focus their powers on good, they make great things happen. But when they... Like selling out
Beyonce,
a world tour without a new single or album.
Beyonce has the
that's
most
great.
Powerful stance.
Yes. And the most enthusiastic.
And the most enthusiastic.
Y'all can take it too far.
Yeah.
But
I think that's what it is. I think, but all this like stands, are, if you like call yourself one of whatever those nicknames are, like if you really like
yeah.
have that shit in your bio, you're pretty bad.
Yeah.
Because I don't even remember what all those different kinds of bees that Beyonce had, like the worker bee.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even remember
stinger
which
bee
one's
and
which.
Some others. No, I don't know which one I am or anything. But girl, whatever. Like, I love Beyonce, obviously, would do anything for her. But some of y'all, like those of you who get physical, y'all are taking it too far.
Yeah.
Okay. And if you search her name on Twitter to reply to people who are saying something about her, get a life. Go to school,
so
get a job.
Many stans do.
Like, just...
Wait a minute. Miley Cyrus's stans are the ones who were in my... See, that's why I couldn't even think of them being the worst. Because when they tried to drag me, none of them were even speaking
no,
English.
No, they're not...
Like, it was like all of Smiler Brazil going to Google Translate to try and read me. I was like, bitch, this is like grammatically... this is like a grammatical nuclear war. I can't even...
Your egg and toast. Fuck you, I up.
Right, like, okay.
Like, why? Okay.
Like, yeah. I was dying laughing. I couldn't take any of it seriously. Whatever.
Oh.
I don't give a fuck.
Okay, you guys. As always, send your letters to askthereed@gmail.com. And now...
Let's move. We have a bill to pay.
We do. So here we go.
So again, y'all, we just want to remind you about our sponsors over at Audible. And if you go to audiblepodcast.com/read right now, you can try out a free audiobook and a free 30-day trial. It's amazing. They just grew their library from 100,000 titles to 150,000 titles. So there's so many amazing books for you to try out.
It's audiblepodcast.com/read. You get a free audiobook and a free 30-day trial. They have amazing titles like Inferno by Dan Brown. They've got Clive Cussler's new books. They've got Catching Fire by Suzanne Collins. There's all kinds of books to help you learn to do things like cook or learn a new language. So you can listen to books on your phone or your iPad and then switch to reading later. So it's really amazing. There's all kinds of different titles, sci-fi, romance, whatever you're looking for. It's at audiblepodcast.com/read.
That's audiblepodcast.com/READ. And let's finish up. Let's go.
Okay.
So everyone, we're back.
We just have a joyous little piece of sunshine to give you before we go.
Instead of doing our reads this week, we want to just share with you a magnificent experience that we had. We were just lucky enough and just blessed enough to
my
have
soul opened up.
An amazing conversation with the beautiful and amazing and talented my aunt.
The inimitable.
The unparalleled Jennifer Lewis.
Yes. We got the chance to sit down and talk to Miss Lewis via telephone about her new movie Baggage Claim, which comes out September 27th, and a little bit of advice about working and life and love and good health. And so we just had a great time talking to her.
And it's really awesome. And it's like probably one of the highlights of my career so far. Seriously.
No, absolutely.
She delivered a word and I can't wait for y'all to get it.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, here we go with that.
Enjoy.
Thank you so much for sitting and speaking with us. We're very excited about it. As you know,
oh, you're welcome.
We've both, you know, talked about how we feel as though you are our auntie in our spirit, and you're actually known as like the Black mother of Hollywood. And I personally just wanted to know if you have people often tell you that you're like their imaginary aunt or sister or mom or cousin. And
oh,
how that
Lord, 24 hours a day, I get so sick of people running, but quit mammy and my aunt. My bitch, I'm Jennifer Lewis. No, I don't. No, I don't. Don't you? No. Wait a minute. No, you know, people ask me, they say, Lewis, why you always play the mother? I said, bitch, for that kind of money, I'll play the daddy.
Okay? That's right. I know, that's it. And you can
like,
do it.
Bitch, please. Okay, let me stop cussing. Okay, I'll put that cussing and shit on.
No, you can curse as much as you like.
So speaking of mothers, we know that you play Catherine Moore in your upcoming film, Baggage Claim, about a young woman who is kind of desperate to get engaged before her younger sister's wedding. Can you tell us a little bit more about the movie and your role in it?
Okay. I play Catherine, Montana's mother. Montana's played by Paula Patton, of course. Mm-hmm. And, you know, her mother's old school. Catherine's old school. She wants to see her daughters married, you know, and settled and safe in a relationship before, you know, she dies. And she's one of those mothers that try to make, you know, their children feel guilty for not doing exactly what they want them to do. But yeah. Paula Patton's character is Montana, and Jill Scott and her other friend, they convince her to go back into the past and look for a new man, if that makes sense. You know, the men she has already dated, surely somebody will marry her and go to the wedding with her to show her mother a thing or two. So it goes on and on like that. It's a romp. It's a romantic comedy. And, of course, as every book and film and anything we get ourselves involved in, we find that it is all inside of us. And you certainly have to love yourself before you can love anybody else. So it's pretty much a journey. You know, it's just it's the Hollywood formula.
Right.
But, you know, happily ever after. It's a really cute movie. It really is.
Yeah, we saw the trailer and it looks adorable and fun. Was it fun to be on set with everybody? And
yeah, because there's a lot of.
Because we've heard that you're the life of the
party
of the movie.
Well, you know I show out. You know I show out wherever I go. But, I don't believe y'all got me clowning. I just like jumped out of bed. This is how I am getting out of bed. Somebody needs to send a drip over here, I'm telling you. But listen. So, no, I had a great time doing this movie. You know, Jill Scott is just like, she's, I don't even know how to describe her other than cotton candy. That's just how sweet she is. She's so sweet and so intelligent. I loved, you know, just being on set with her and talking and sharing life, politics, you know, whatever we wanted to talk about, you know, the music industry, so many things. I think the Trayvon Martin thing was going on at that time and just, you know, socializing on set instead of everybody sitting around with their, you know, texting and playing games on their. Oh, it's changed. Let me tell you, it's changed.
I bet.
Everybody. Technology is, I'm telling you, I think it's going a little too fast, honey. Somebody showed me that iPhone 6. Ooh, Lord, my little great nephew showed me that thing. I said, little boy, somebody understand all those buttons. Sit down and shut up and eat this hot dog or whatever the hell we're doing. Anyway. Oh, he said, come here, auntie, and see. I went, oh, no, honey, auntie. First of all, auntie can't even see. Get my glass. These kids or something else, honey. They better be careful with that technology. Oh, honey, I'm telling you, it's a hologram. It goes up on the wall. It goes on. Ooh, moving on. But that's y'all's generation. I ain't even got to worry about it. I don't even own a computer. But anyway, a baggage claim is really, really a You know, I would say it is a fun movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it's after I saw it, I said, "Oh my God!" My first adjective was that was really adorable.
Oh,
you know, yes. I think that was the word I used. I said that was adorable. You know, all those pretty people running around with their different, you know, with those playing those roles. And the one thing that I like about it is that it does represent intelligent, you know, young African-Americans. You know, they're entrepreneurs. They have jobs. They you know, nobody's killing and stabbing and getting off drugs and carrying on. You know, we're not just that. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And, you know, I'll go off to other countries and people will come over, you know, and they recognize me, which is really nice. A lot of them recognize me from Fresh Prince because, of course, that is global.
Yeah.
And the Tyler Perry movies are global, so I'll go places. You know, I'll be in Bangladesh, you know, and somebody go, "Miss Lewis," I go, "Oh, honey, please," you know, keep walking around. You don't know you're famous. I was going into the Hall of Mirrors, I kid you not, at Versailles. And some girl came screaming, a sister girl. I mean, listen, I'm getting ready to walk into the Hall of Mirrors. Now, come on. Somebody screaming, "Jennifer Lewis." And screaming. I turned around. I said, "Shut the fuck up. Let me experience history without you acting a damn fool. I'll take a picture with you when we get out to the gardens." But she was so cute. You know, I took a picture with that girl. And if you that far away from home and somebody come running talking about Jennifer Lewis, I have to tell you, I love when your kids come up to me. I really do. I'm very open to that, and I always take pictures with everybody. And I really do. I am always very, very moved when people come up to me. It's, you know, it's part of what we do. And anybody in the business who cannot deal with that, they should not be in the business, because, honey, I'm telling you, that comes with it. And with all the technology, all the technology they have now, let's face it, you know, we come into your living rooms. I mean, there you are, you're having your dinner, and, you know, Fresh Prince pops on, and you know, the old episodes, and people feel that you are their mother and auntie anyway, because y'all came up with me being all that.
Right.
Yeah, we did. You were like Aunt Helen, like that iconic character, and you just reminded us all of our own mothers and our own aunties, so
right,
I see what you're saying.
Right.
It was a different world for me, honey. It was a different
world. Yeah, that was fun, too. No, I had a blast in all those early sitcoms. That, you know, Will Smith and, you know, Jasmine Guy and Jada Pinkett and,
yeah,
I mean, we all go back. Those were the days, you know.
So I just want to know, like, out of all of the different characters and films and Broadway and movies that you've been a part of, do you have a character that you play that is your favorite?
Well, I have to say Thelma Bullock and What's Love Got to Do with It.
Okay.
Yes.
I just loved playing her. I really did. Give you a little history there. I had just fallen in love right before I filmed that movie.
Mm-hmm.
So when I did her, there just was no fear in me. As, you know, as a person, I was so, the energy was just flowing through me, and I was so clear on who she was, because I'm from St. Louis, you know.
And yeah.
I created Thelma Bullock, Tina's mother. I created her from three of my aunts. My mother is the oldest of 16.
Oh,
amen.
And so I had eight aunts. And I created Thelma from three of them and a sprinkle of my own mother. So I was so clear on who she was, and you know, it was a wonderful time, but we had no idea that film would be what it was.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because when you're filming, you just do your part, and you do your best, and then it's up to the editor, you know.
Right.
You know, the stage, I love stage more than all of it, more than film and television, because, of course, that is immediate, And I don't know if you guys ever see me on stage, but honey, that's where I
live. Right, we know people, you shine on Broadway.
Yeah, oh no, I show out.
Yeah. Honey,
well, Broadway is one thing, but see, I do a one-woman show.
Yeah.
I was telling Oprah about it. I don't know if you guys saw the bipolar appearance I did on Oprah. Yeah, so I was telling her about the one-woman show, Bipolar Bath and Beyond.
I love it.
But, you know, and then I did one called Divas Dismissed. I did some great one-woman shows. And they're pretty much all about my life and with different stories and characters. And I sing. A lot of people don't know that I sing.
Oh, honey, well, they better get hit.
You sang at Carnegie Hall, so it doesn't much more iconic than that. So in that same vein of, like, your most, your favorite role, are there any roles that you, in hindsight, you wish you hadn't done or you would have thought twice about before you decided to accept them?
Not one. I don't believe in regret.
It just is amazing that you've had this kind of longevity and you don't actually regret any of the roles that you've done.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing you learn in life, and I'll give you guys some wisdom. I'm kind of famous for that. I don't think that what I say is the truth, but I will tell you it is my truth. One should never regret anything, because what you did, what you have done, has made you who you are in this moment.
Right.
And you have to be very aligned and have major gratitude for that, for being here, for having survived whatever you have. And wait a minute, there was that one man in Chicago. Okay, one regret. Okay, oh honey, don't let me go into Chicago. But anyway, no, in all seriousness, no, I don't have any regrets. I really, and I would tell you if I did, but when you... The reason I have sustained is because I love what I do. I breathe, especially on stage. I am meteoric when I get on stage. It's like, because, you know, I started singing in the church, and at 5 years old, I saw the reaction of the congregation, and I stood there with my thumb in my mouth thinking, oh, this is life. Yes.
Wow.
So I haven't looked back. I really haven't. I went, you know, of course, got my BA in theater art and studied. I mean, I was determined to live my dream. And I did. And I'm telling you, I pinch myself every day. I have such a... let me just tell you, kids, I did the work. You know, I was in therapy for 17 years, twice a week. And there's no shame in my game, baby. I always talk about mental illness in the community. It is so important that we stop with all the homophobia and the taboo on, you know, mental illness and all the crap that's going on. It's so important that we come together now as a people. You know,
that's actually going to be one of my questions, because mm-hmm. mental health is something that's, you know, very dear to me personally, and I feel like there aren't enough people talking about it, especially in, like, the Black community. I feel like we just have so many people who brush it off and refuse to accept it.
Look, if you've got an aunt up in the attic that never comes out, or the uncle in a room that keeps the door closed all the time, or the cousin that jumps up on the picnic table at the family reunions, or these, as a family member, you have to see these things, take these people by the hand, take them to the doctor, and say, let's see what's wrong, let's see what's going on here.
Right.
What is going on? And, it doesn't cost anything to say, how are you this morning? It doesn't cost anything to pay attention. Every time something bad happens, everybody's in an uproar. Well, what about you taking the initiative and say, let's see what's going on here? And I speak very sternly on that. Subject matter. We have to pay attention, and And I don't know. I guess the community pretty much needs to grow up in many ways. But look, honey, I ain't nobody's doctor, but I tell you what I do, what I am. I'm somebody who cares.
Right.
I'm somebody who cares. And every time I get up in front of a microphone, I talk about what we need to do to take care of ourselves.
Right.
Because, I mean, if you're not healthy, then, you know, what else is there to talk about? You ain't going to be here to enjoy your success. You
right.
know? And I'm not going to lie, I'm getting ready to work out when I'm done talking to y'all. I'm 56 now. I really do. I get up. I do yoga. I swim. Of course, I have a pool, if you know what I mean. But still, I have to have my own pool. Yeah, but, you know, y'all paid for that, so you know it's all right. But oh, shit. But, no, you've got to get up, and you've got to walk. Just take the baby steps. You ain't got to get up and start lifting weights and carrying on, but just walk every morning and drink water every day. I mean, really, because, you know, here in America, they just put so many chemicals in the foods.
Yeah.
So and then you wake up one morning and go, oh, what's this on me? Well, I'm eating all that shit. But shit, you better walk that shit off and drink some water. But anyway, you know what I'm saying.
Okay. So let's get back a little bit to part of your appeal, which is how you make everybody who watches your movies and your TV shows and sees your live shows and your appearances on Broadway, you connect with audiences, you make them feel comfortable with all of your different characters. Can you name any up-and-coming actors or actresses who you feel have that same factor?
Not a fucking one! Y'all know I'm just making y'all laugh. If you want the truth, darling, and I'm going to give you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Okay.
I don't watch television.
I don't blame
who,
you.
I got to tell you, I don't know who is who anymore. And that is the truth. I do not watch. I've got too many things I'm doing with my life. You know, I knock on wood as I say this to you. I have had such a great day in the sun.
Mm-hmm.
My life has been truly blessed. Wow, and I am humbled as I say this to you, but I spend my time now working with children, reading, exercising, taking care of myself. I travel. I don't waste. When you have more years behind you than you do in front of you, you don't waste time.
Oh, Lord.
That was a word.
That was.
That's if you know who you are. And I know who I am because I work for that knowledge. And y'all talking to somebody right now who, yeah, I'll make you laugh all day. But I love life. I love being alive. That's why I take care of myself. Yeah, I'm on my balcony right now, and I'm looking out at my yard. I have a beautiful yard with a pool and jacuzzi and flowers that I planted. No, I don't watch television. And if I find myself watching television, then that means something's wrong.
Oh,
Lord. Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Now, I will tell you this. I watch movies, documentaries, nature shows, educational shows, and a few of the, you know, like the HBO good shows, you know, that has good writing. I'll watch a little bit of that. But
right.
No, rarely does this TV come on. Mm-hmm. So I'm just, my interest now is giving back. I was given so much. You know, and I speak of my gifts. You know, I sing, I dance, I'm a comedian, I'm an actress. and let me tell you something. I'm a little girl from Kinlock, Missouri, a very poverty stricken area. And I have been inside of the Great Pyramid of Giza.
Wow.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine?
No, actually.
I mean, and I give you that as, of course, the metaphor for what I wanted with my life and what I got with my life.
Right.
Because I kept the dream. You see, the dream sustained me. People ask me, Jennifer, how, you know, because I think the only other person who's is close to my record of movies, and she might have even passionate about now, is Loretta Devine.
Loretta and I
have sustained in this business. You know, we go back to Dreamgirls.
That's my auntie.
Oh, yeah, we were babies. Yeah, we were babies together. We were 18, 19 in dance class together. We wrote songs together. And the two of us have sustained in this business. We worked constantly. But we worked hard. Back then, we had dreams, you see. I'm not going to lie to you. Your generation kept your head in those computers and those games, whatever those game things you play on TV. And when y'all finally got tired of all that, y'all woke up and went, hey, wait a minute, where's my childhood? Wait a minute, I ain't got no social skills. I'm not going out into the world. What the hell? I look at the younger, I look at the 20, the late 20-year-old kids, and I'm like, are you insane? I'm sorry, honey, but you have to get out of the nest now, and you have to grow up, and I'm sorry, but you're grown. So when I get a chance to talk to kids, I tell you guys, have a dream. Have a passion.
Yes.
And do everything to work toward that. The elevator to success is broken. Take the stairs.
Lord Jesus.
I just can't with this word.
You just really blessed our lives today. Like, I can't even tell you how much we appreciated the opportunity to be able to talk to you, because you are just iconic and amazing and
you're adorable. Thank you. You guys are very sweet. Thank you. Thank you.
God, I love her.
She's so perfect.
Hilarious, wise, awesome, talented. Just, I can't believe what we get to talk to Jennifer Lewis.
Thank you so much, Ms. Lewis, again, for speaking with us. And don't forget, you guys, Baggage Claim is in theaters September 27th. Go check that out.
And also, Think Like a Man 2 is just around the corner.
Yep.
Which everyone is excited about. So, yes, thank you so much, Ms. Lewis. That was awesome. Everyone, don't forget to send us your emails at asktheread@gmail.com. Don't forget, if you have a read that you want to read on the show, send it to pasttheread@gmail.com.
Don't forget to check us out at thisistheread.com, where you can download every episode and see fun announcements and things like that from us. Follow us on Twitter at thisistheread, facebook.com/thisistheread.
And iHeartRadio.
And yeah, we're so very, very excited to let everybody know that we are now a part of Clear Channel's iHeartRadio Talk. And so you can listen to the show via that medium as well.
Right. And don't forget to add us to your daily pulse station.
Yep.
And favorite us and comment and do all that great stuff.
Don't forget to rate, review on iTunes. If you are in Atlanta on Sunday, then we'll see you at the Read
Holy
Live.
Holy shit, I forgot about that.
It sold out a little fast. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, I don't really know how this keeps happening.
But if you have tickets, we'll see you at Orem Lounge Sunday, 5 p.m. for a little bit of a fun time doing this show live in front of your faces. So
that should be exciting.
Yeah, it should.
And also go to HuluPlus.com/TheRead. Try out the free extended 2-week trial. Get your life with all of the shows. There's bound to be something there that you're going to love. And check out Ixora.
Yeah, check out IXORABB.com. That is IXORABB.com, where you can get all your smell goods and your body scrubs so your ass can smell like pumpkin spice and vanilla lattes or whatever the fuck for your boo this winter. So head on over there and stock up. Check our website for the code you get to get 15% off your first order.
And that's our show.
That wraps up the read. Anything else?
Nope, that's about it.
Okay, great. See y'all later.
Bye.
Bye.